Yeah, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming here live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dindji country as BB and Bama Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say, but call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text the brother 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. All right, we're going to jump straight in. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Deadly Brother, brother from another mother. Go back a long way, Thomas Jaya. Him and I served together in Vietnam. That's a coffee shop on the Esplanade here in Cairns. Tommy and I go back a long way. We went to school together and fantastic and played football together. The hat he wears, the principal consultant at Jarriga, cultural and place-based learning and design. So I'll bring him into conversation and just talk about the hat that he's wearing and the contract that he's doing in regarding gambling harm minimisation plan, and that's for Queensland 2021 to 25. So a big plan ahead in regard to the gambling, which is a nice entertainment, but if you're not in control, it can create a lot of damage in more ways than one. But let me bring Thomas Joy into the conversation. Very good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, good.
I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land and elders past and present.
Yeah, beautiful, my brother. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from, Tom.
Okay. My mob is from the Wanyamaja Ininji clan down in Babindaway. Yeah. I've got connections to the Gugu Yidama up in Cooktown way, but also I've got connections to the western region of the Torres Strait Islands on Bardu Island.
Big footprint there, my brother.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Join the dots and all the mob, and big shout out to all our mob across this beautiful country of ours, this beautiful big island. So, Tom, let's talk about the hat you're wearing in regard to, well, principal consultant at Jarriga. Talk about that first, the hat you're wearing, and how long you've been in this role, and then we'll talk about the gambling harm minimisation plan for Queensland 2021-25, brother.
Okay, Trevor, listen, I've been working in the community sector for about 30-odd years now.
Yes.
And what I've seen in the community sector is that our people are being caught up in the justice system and our child safety system, and also in our juvenile justice systems. And the numbers of those is actually growing.
Yeah.
And my concern is that many of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations out there are doing a wonderful job in terms of working with them, but I think that they're some of them can be overworked.
Sure.
And I guess that my role, like this, is the responsibility is to work with other organisations to be able to work with our people effectively, so it can actually complement what the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations are actually doing. So what I do is I bring in cultural place-based learning, where it's about informing these community organisations about the cultural environment on which they actually live in.
Yes.
Because if they don't know their environment, they can't work effectively with our people.
Mm-hmm.
So our people need to be more like relaxed and being able to effectively communicate, effectively feel comfortable and confident. And I think that, and what I usually do too, Trevor, is that it's also about getting them to do a deep dive on where they're from as well. It's about talking about what their cultural histories are as well. So it's like a cultural competency or cultural awareness training, but in a localised context.
Okay.
So, so that's what I actually do with organisations.
All right, brother. And so I'm feeling a bit of passion there in regard to the work that you do. When we're talking about, black on black, when our black mob, are working with our black mob, of course there's passion there, you know what I mean? And that is a powerful tool when we're talking about our black people working with black people, you know? And no matter what industry we're talking about here, we have the solutions to our problems. We just need to come from the inside out, so to speak, so the outsiders coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the gambling harm minimisation plan for Queensland 2021-25. Now, we talk about gambling as, well, it's an entertainment, but you've got to be in control of the entertainment. That's just like even alcohol, you know, celebrating a wedding or celebrating an 18th birthday party or, you know, or at the footy game, you know, but you've got to control the little brown bottle. Don't let it control you.
Mm.
So we, like I said, the so-called entertainment in gambling can become a devastating vehicle as such, hey, and we need to be in control.
Yeah. Well, how I got involved in this gambling as part of my role out in the community, because gambling actually affects a lot of our families.
Yeah.
So I was asked to run some focus groups up this way around talking to various groups of people around the gambling and the effects of how it's affecting the community and how it's affecting their families, and most importantly, and how it's affecting themselves.
Mm.
So I ran this focus group, and there was very, very clear messages out there that it's a kind of silent pandemic, Trevor,
yes.
That, you know, our people, it exists within our community that not too many people are ready to speak about it yet.
Mm.
So I'm not saying that gambling, to stop gambling and gambling is bad. What I'm saying is that, as you're saying, it's about how do we actually effectively control it and making sure that we're actually in control of our lives and not gambling being in uncontrol of us. So those sort of like focus groups was really, really handy and gave me a bit of an insight on, I guess, the effects that's leading to in things such as domestic violence, such as mental health, such as relationship breakdowns, such as children's relationships. It all leads to all of that, the gambling effect. Also, it leads to low socioeconomics.
Mm.
But also, importantly, it increases our domestic violence rates, which we want to try to steady that down.
Bring those numbers down, exactly. When we look at the data here, the information we've got here in front of us, Tom, 2016 to 2017, they're working on the up-to-date data, but just, can you share with the listeners here those figures there, please, brother?
Yeah. Well, in this, in the data, and this is why it's very important to actually take note of this, because I don't think people really have a grasp, I guess, on the seriousness of what gambling is doing and what's it doing to our community and also to our community spirit. Because I guess that we as a people, it just takes away who we are, our identity, and our identity is the thing that actually...
Well, it's not part of our culture, if you look at it, Tom.
Yeah, it takes away our identity, and that's who we are. That's what's... drives us is our identity, and gambling can take that away from us.
Mm.
So you know you're looking at some of these stats. You know, 70% of Queenslanders gamble. You know, 70%. That's a lot of people gambling. And that's not just,
and that's black and white.
Yeah, that's black and white. But you just look at, you know, it's that breakup too as well.
Mm.
But also, you know, if you actually break it up, there's 61% of those 70. Are recreational gamblers, and 6.4 of it is low gamblers. That's low gamblers that, you know, you buy a lotto ticket or something like that. Yeah, and also you got the moderate ones too as well. But you got the 0.51 is the problematic gamblers. So there's only a small minority of it, but also it actually covers a lot of social issues that comes with that as well. And also within the state, there's 29.2% that are non-gamblers. You know, that's the pure facts there, and
there's low numbers there for non-gamblers.
Yeah.
In actual fact, we need to increase those numbers, don't we?
Yeah, exactly right. But you know, like it says here, you know, what are people gambling on? You know, 54% of our people buy a lotto ticket. Who doesn't buy a lotto ticket? You know, everybody wants to buy a lotto ticket, but 59% that considers gambling.
Yeah,
you got to look at 25.1% of art union tickets they just buy to support the Mater Hospital, the Lifesavers, or
RSL, or
RSL. Yeah, those good kind of foundations.
Yes.
Also, 24.1% goes on electronic gambling machines. That's pokies and keno and stuff like that. So you got 18.3% doing that. And I'm really surprised about this, 18.3% on the races, you know, have a punt on the horses. I mean, everybody has a little pun on the horse, especially around Melbourne Cup Day.
Yeah, sure, yeah. the race that stops a nation.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, if you look at that, even that that platform, the race that stops a nation, you know, well, it's a gambling vehicle.
It is.
So if the whole country is stopping just to watch this one race, that shows you the focus on gambling is huge.
Yeah, it glorifies the gambling. Glorifies, that's what it does. Yes. You know, and our people get caught up into that gambling because it's like, wow, you know, the bright lights and, you know, the glorified of gambling.
Well, also the poker machines are very pretty.
Yeah, yeah. And they look at that and they look at the benefits that you can do through a glorified gambling, but they fail to mention the downside of it.
Sure.
Which leads to those social, antisocial issues that I mentioned before. Mm. So I guess that people need to probably look at, yes, you can look at the good side, you can benefit and win lots of money, but if you
at
don't...
At what cost?
Yeah, at what cost? Mm. So, yeah, so and I guess that you got 70% of people say that electronic gambling machines are problematic for them.
Yep.
Bright lights, flashing machines, ding-dongs, you know, bells going off. Mm. And they say that it's probably attracting them more to go and gamble on gambling machines.
Mm. Look at the figure there with $625 people spend on EGM per year.
Mm.
Yeah, that works out a lot of money, doesn't it?
It's working out a lot of money.
We're only talking Queensland, aren't we?
Yeah. So that's per year on electronic gaming machines. That covers, you know, your pokies, your kinos and stuff like that. So those are the sorts of stuff. And also including on your mobile phones too as well, because you can it's easily accessible. Gambling now is more accessible than ever. You don't have to leave your own home.
Sure,
to gamble.
Well, I mentioned off air about even if you look at the so-called big major sports, when we're talking AFL and NRL, you know, they're talking about it's billion-dollar industries, those two avenues, you know. But when they're talking about the next game or the game of the match or game of the week, there's all the advertising behind in regarding gambling.
Yeah.
Yeah, they stopped the advertising of alcohol and smoking, but gambling's still there, and that still causes havoc in the community, black and white.
Yeah, and also to just to go along with that, we got our young kids too that are looking up to these NRL stars.
There you go, yeah.
And they watch these games, but in the middle of those games, they got gambling ads and gambling notices on across the sideboards along the fences along the games there. So I guess
but always remember, gamble responsibly.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's a good warning, but you know, I think there needs to be more meat on the bone around doing that.
Yes.
You know, you can say that as much as you can, but you need to probably get some more meat on the bone.
Mm, exactly. Mm. Exactly. So let's talk about the how can people – have you guys got a web page and the work that you're doing, Tom? And I believe there's some we're talking about a promotion videos with your web page. Can you paint that picture, bro?
Well, from that focus group I mentioned earlier, Trev, I did this focus group to participate, I guess, to contribute to a 60-second video that's been released through the Queensland government, and it talked about it was solely focused on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders around gambling, and because it affects our young people as well, and also it affects our community in general. It actually is really two good 60-second or 1 minute and 5 second videos, clips on it, and it really sends a really strong message about crossing that line.
Yes.
There's a line there that people get drawn to and gets pulled over, and what it actually does, it actually affects who we are spiritually, mentally, and identity as well. So those are the, and if you can watch that video, I've got those videos on my website. I if you give me a second by this afternoon, I'll have them videos planted on my website.
Okay. Yep.
But yeah, so
can you promote your website so they can just keep an eye on it and have a look at it and then go back to it later on tonight if they want to?
Yeah, it's Ariga. It's admin@ariga.com.au. So yeah, so
spell that, Tom.
It's admin@ariga.com.au.
.com.au. So you mob, there's the web page, and look, keep an eye on it, read it, get the information, but also there'll be videos, promotional videos on that later on tonight. So admin@ariga.com.au. So do check that out. Now, we're talking about four pillars of the plan. We're talking about the gambling harm minimisation plan for Queensland 2021-25.
Mm-hmm.
You want to enlighten us, please, about those four
pillars?
Yeah,
I mean, to enlighten you about those four pillars, we had to come from four different angles on actually to address the whole of gambling. Mm. So we've got the four pillars are leadership and culture, technology and environment, and public health approach. And regulatory framework.
Mm.
I'll explain to you in really brief concerns about the leadership and culture. It's about working with, I guess, the pubs and clubs around the leaders on how can we actually work with them to be able to be more gambling aware, to making sure that the gamblers that are people that come and access their machines or their TAB facility, to be aware that making sure that there's support for them if things get tough for them. So it's about bringing those organisation on board to be aware that gambling is an issue and that people can endure it without being affected any socially wise.
Because you look at the so-called publicans or the restaurants or clubs, football clubs, what have you, they too have a responsibility. In regard to this this gambling problem in this country.
Of course they do.
And they've got rules and regulations to abide by and support an individual if they feel as though that, you know, because you all know your locals, you know, go down to the locals, so to speak. You know who's coming in and how often they do come in. And if you feel as though it's a regular thing, then there's arguments outside with the other half because of it, you know something's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, it's about that, and it needs to come down from the leaders around cultural change. So I guess it's about that, looking at different ways, I guess, to make that change, to support, even if these places can actually provide them with pamphlets and booklets and stuff like that, so they can actually, it's displayed.
I know there's a lot of posters out there regarding, when you're two flies on the wall betting, you know, if you're betting on the two flies, that's showing that you're betting on anything, so you may have a gambling problem. Here's a number to call, you know, sort of thing. Yeah. And we need more of that.
Yeah. And I think that it's a lot of companies now that are doing a lot about that now, Trev. They're actually really going. They're looking at putting some of these companies. They're looking at putting supports in place in the club,
and that's a part of the leadership and culture in this four pillars of plan.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, in going over to the technology and environment, it's probably about looking at the shaping of the poker machines.
Mm.
So it's about gambling products and are safer and evidence based approach and taking to development. So it's about making sure that. I think they're looking at now at gambling, so when you go over a certain limit, you can actually stop. The machine won't allow you to go any further. Okay. So I guess that's probably they're looking at finding ways to make sure that if people can't stop, I guess the responsibility, if we can put more technology in place.
In the machine, the machine will stop for that individual.
Yeah.
Who's working on them. Okay, and then it's a hard ask, really, because if you look at individuals, well, people work and get their money, and whatever they do with their money is entirely up to them.
Yeah,
really, if you look at it, you know. So it is it's hard to police, I would say, Thomas.
It is probably hard to police, so it needs to be a little bit more thought put through that.
Mm.
But I guess that the more you start talking about it, Trevor, it's like anything. You got to start the conversation.
Sure.
You got to start talking about
it. Out of sight, out of mind. Yeah,
exactly right. So because what I see is that if people start talking about it and start around the dinner table, around the barbecue, around the when you're going fishing or anything like that, if people start talking about it, then it's going to become a reality and it's going to become putting on the table for people to have more discussions around that.
Exactly.
Yeah. With the public health approach, it's about that looking at the health, how gambling can actually affect your health as well. Mm. It can bring up, you know, heart condition, can bring up diabetes, can bring out chronic diseases, can bring out a lot of that stuff out there. So what it's about moves away from in individuals and to address long levels of risk and a continuum around that public health approach.
Sure.
And the final one is that regulatory framework. So that's about doing that and making changes through government, making changes around proportionate and risk-based work. So it's more or less about the changes that the government that you can bring to the government where they can make those legislation changes.
Sure. So the government's got a lot of input on this as well, and so they should.
And yes, I think that the government that they're working really, really well in terms of making sure that gambling comes to the surface, and they're putting in some really good strategies, Trevor.
Sure.
In terms of making sure that gambling doesn't control people's lives.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've actually identified gambling as a huge risk and a huge issue.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have jumped on board of this whole vehicle if that weren't true.
Sure, fantastic. Well, like I said, Thomas, you're talking with so much passion there. And look, there is a problem out there, like I said, black and white in regard to gambling. It's about being in control. It's a fantastic, entertainment, so to speak. But you've got to have a budget for that entertainment and don't go over that budget. That's what I'm saying, yeah. Like you said, if you're paying your rent or you're paying your mortgage, you're paying electricity bill, and there's money left over, some people will go out and buy a carton of beer. Someone will go out and buy a pair of Nike shoes. Someone will go out and do fishing, yeah, buy a little boat. Well, if you want to gamble, fantastic, but have a budget and work with that budget.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, Trevor. I think that what the message that I'm trying to get across here is that I'm not here to say that gambling's bad. I'm not here to stop people from gambling. You know, if it's an activity that people do enjoy, but I guess it's probably about that using that harm minimization strategies around. Okay, as Trevor was saying, you know, you get your pay packet, you pay your bills, you pay your rent, you get your food on the table, and all of that stuff, the necessary stuff, before you even think about gambling. And that's what I guess that the awareness, and we need to start talking about that, and how can we actually improve that attitude a little bit better.
Sure. Well, some people save up money for about $2,000, $3,000 to go away for a weekend, a long weekend, go camping or what have you. Well, if you're going to save up for $3,000 to go and have a big old punt, you know, fly down the Gold Coast and go to Jupiter's, for example, that's in your budget because you planned for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of thing, you know, so it's an entertainment tool.
Yeah.
Thomas, we'll be yarning more about this. Great to see you again, my brother, and congratulations on the work that you're doing there. And we are talking to our mob in all aspects and all parts of your life, and that's what it's all about. But, Thomas, great to see you again, my brother, and we will be yarning more about this in the near future.
Thanks. Thanks, Trev.
To Delhi. Thomas Jaya, there he is. Thomas Jaya, he's a principal consultant at Jarriga. And do check out the webpage there, admin@jarriga.com.au, and watch that space. There's a couple of videos coming out in regard to promo of the gambling and gambling harm minimisation plan. That's all under the one umbrella for Queensland 2029-25. We are talking Queensland. It's a national program to all your mob across this deadly country of ours. Take that on board in regarding if you have a gambling situation, you know. If you've got a problem, reach out that there is help and support out there in regard to that space. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. And we're going to catch up with Yarn now with Professor Helen Milroy, Honorary Research Fellow and Co-Director of Embrace at Telethon Kids Institute. A new project aims to improve cultural safety in mental health services. Online, we have Professor Helen. Very good morning, Professor. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and hello, listeners.
And thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Professor?
I'm based on the beautiful lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people here in Perth in Western Australia.
WA represent, fantastic. Mm-hmm. So talking about this space, a new project aims to improve cultural safety in mental mm-hmm. health services. I talk yep. about when we look at COVID-19, a pandemic, but when you look at mental health, that in itself is a pandemic. Well, yeah, we look at COVID-19, a lot of that because of it, but if you've got a problem, we're just talking to deadly brother, the Thomas John, regarding gambling, whether it be alcohol, whether it be drugs. To me, it all leads back to the mental capacity, does it not?
It does, and mental health, you're right, it is at pandemic levels. Mm. We have lots and lots of distress and self-harm and lots of issues with our kids and our young people and, you know, really right across the lifespan, actually. And I think that COVID isn't the cause of it, but it certainly made it a lot worse.
Yeah, there is. So I'm just fixing up this piece of paper here. So in regard to the space and work that you're doing there, lead there in the Honorary Research Fellow and Co-Director of Embrace and Telethon Kids Institute. Tell us about the work that you've been doing there and how we can help yep. in regard to cultural safety in mental health services.
Yeah, so as all our listeners probably know, mental health services can be quite scary places to go to. And if you don't feel welcome there, if you don't feel that they're going to understand who you are and your culture and your background and your family, then you might not go and get the help that you need. And what we want to make sure is that we get the best help that we can so we can get our kids back on track and they can thrive and our young people and our families. And so we want to make sure that mental health services understands our mob from all over Australia, understands how we think and feel and all our beliefs and things like that. So that if someone does want to seek help, they'll actually be treated with respect.
Exactly.
And in a way that is helping them rather than making them feel worse.
Professor, we're talking about a safe space, aren't we?
Yeah, a safe space, absolutely. And let's face it, who wants to talk about their issues if they don't feel safe? They're not going to, are they? They're not going to open up. So we've got to make sure it is safe. It's got to be safe for all of
us. We talk about it all the time. We talk about our mob, you know, First Nation people.
Yeah.
You know, of course, the best ingredient is black on black. We're talking about professionals. We're in the professional hat, but being a black person as well, you know, or cultural awareness for our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters who are at the professional level. But they've got to have that bridge that we walk back and forth on.
That's absolutely right. And look, you know, it's really great that more of our Aboriginal people are going into, more of our First Nations people are going into, you know, mental health professions. But we don't have enough. Mm. And so we do need to have that collaborative model. So we, you know, we can have sort of some First Nations staff, but we're also going to have a lot of non-Indigenous staff like doctors and psychiatrists and nurses and psychologists. Mm. So we do have to work together, and we do have to work together in a safe way for our families first up and our young people, but also for the Aboriginal staff that work in these services too.
And when you say young people, how far do we go back? What are the ages when we're talking young?
Well, you know, you can have problems even as a baby, an infant.
Okay.
If the family's not right. And so we can start right from the beginning and try and get that really early intervention and get mums and bubs and dads going well. But that also then goes all the way through to our young people up to sort of, you know, young adulthood. So, you know, when people get into their 20s and they're you know, becoming strong as young people, you can have mental health problems at any stage in your life. And
exactly.
We want to make sure we get in early and get our kids back on track so that they get the best potential out of life. And, you know, a lot of mental health problems, you know, it stops kids from going to school, stops them from getting a good education, it messes up their relationships. And we don't want that. You know,
we don't want
kids to be strong. Nah, we want kids to be strong and healthy and just show how deadly they are.
Exactly. Professor Helen, I'm going back to thinking of a phrase, it takes a community to raise a child, and that's what we're talking about here. We've all got, it's a team effort, and we've all got to have input in regarding the mental stability of every human being.
Absolutely. absolutely. And it does, you're absolutely right, it does take a village to raise a child. When you think about it, that's how we did it in kinship, wasn't it? You know, we had lots of mums and lots of dads and lots of brothers and sisters all around us. And
exactly.
For some of our families, unfortunately, that's kind of broken down a bit. So we've got to try and get that support in other ways through services. And so that's a really important part of that support system for families now, is making sure the services know how to do this in the right way, the way that we would have done it traditionally.
Well, talking about communication, like a family unit, for example. I mean, like here we are in the 21st century, very rare people sit at the table and have dinner. They're virtually in the lounge room, or if they're at the table, everyone's head down on their phones, you know what I mean? So we've got to get some rules and some basic rules within the family unit, and then they can continue on throughout other parts of life.
That's exactly right. We've got to get better sort of communication in families, but also in society. So it'd be really great to get kids back out to nature as well.
Yes.
And learning from country and back in those sort of ways of learning about life. And I think there are some really fantastic practices that we had. You know, that whole notion of Indigenous storytelling is a fantastic way for young children in particular to learn, and that can help with their mental health. Connecting them back to their identity and their broader family and, you know, all that sort of good stuff that's on country. You know, these are sorts of things that we also need to bring into mental health services. Instead of having that narrow medical model, we want that broader social and emotional wellbeing model. That's what we want for our kids in mental health services.
So the new project aims to improve cultural safety in mental health services. Yes. So we're talking about you guys taking bringing the mountain to the people. You going and having a conversation with the families and speaking to families, children young and old, and just finding out where they're thinking as and what we need to be doing. And then you're hearing it from, well, we're talking grassroots as well.
We are. And we really want to know from our families and our children and young people, what was it like for them going through that system? Did they feel cared for? Did they feel respected? Did they think that they got the help that they needed? And if some of those answers are no, then we want to know why. And we also want to know what they would like to see different and what they would like to see change. We now have the capacity to be able to change things in systems. You know, we have people in services ready to look at doing things differently. And so we can actually affect change if we know what it is that's going wrong and what we need to change and make things better. So I think the first step in actually really getting an understanding of people's experiences is really important, because we've got to know, when you think about cultural safety, it's got to be from the person's perspective who's come through the service. We can think we're doing the right thing, but if they don't feel like it's right, then it's not helping. So that's why we've got to do all of the interviews and find out from our community what's really going on.
Excellent. And they say that you are what you focus on, and I'm loving what you're focusing on, you know, in regards to Doctor of Happiness. That's me high on life, you know, and we need that that mental, bandage, so to speak.
Yeah, and I love seeing our kids thrive. It just gives me such hope for the future. So I'm really hoping that this project will make a big difference, guys.
Professor Allen, thank you very much. This you take care. All the best, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Deadly Yarn there, Professor Helen Milroy, an honorary research fellow and co-director of Embrace at Telethon Kids Institute, and talk about the new program aims to improve cultural safety in mental health services. So, look, a hello smile doesn't hurt. It's about reaching out for the help and support. And for our mob out there, if you're feeling that way inclined, you can also call 13 Yarn. Don't forget that, 139276, 13 Yarn, when we're talking about black on black. So if you want to reach out to somebody, you can call that number, 13 Yarn, and have a yarn to another black person if you're feeling that way inclined. Otherwise, there's always Lifeline, 131114, and Kids Helpline, 1-800-551-800. Reach out for the mob. They're very important. And as I was talking earlier with Thomas Joy as well, in regard to the principal consultant at Jarriga and the work that he's doing in the gambling space. So that number for gambling helpline is 1-800-858-858. The number again, 1-800-858-858. Otherwise, check out his webpage, as I mentioned earlier, and that's the admin at Jagara, jarraga.com.au. Stay tuned, you mob, to your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
When I try to get you off my mind, I
can't seem to fight these feelings I've been trying to hide.
I can hide just from the thought of you. An addiction that I really, really like and I can't control.
And I try to get you off my mind.
Sit up city lights like I'm damning you wild while you
when
shine so
I try
bright,
to get you off my mind. I can't seem to fight these feelings I've been trying to hide.
I can't hide just from the thought of you.
An addiction that I really, really like and I can't control.
I'ma ring your line like, baby, what you trying to do? I'ma pick you up and then my Ranger will cruise. Let's go, Sister Fefe is the name. I'll be kicking back, I ain't playing no games. But hold up, one sec, let me tell you something quick. That first little verse, yeah, I know we'll see. What I'm really trying to do is bring you over to the bay. We gon' party all night, sleep all day. But see, if you want, we can have it your way. Take a walk down the beach and just smile a day. We'll sit next to a buoy that'll keep us warm while we dance the night away and listen to this song. Put your hands up on my waist as I wind it like that. Cause see, we got that vibe, we just got it like that. I'ma be his ride or die, and that's a fact. We said in our pack, roses are red, and I made a wish that you were fast on your chicha's Christmas list. Take you back to my bumba, that's my crib. Drink a little Henny, maybe just a sip. See, you can be my yaba for life. You can give me that ring, and you can call me your wife. See, we gon' be alright, we gon' be okay. Shout out to this track, my bottom
when
know me.
When I try to get you off my mind, I can seem to fight these feelings I've been trying to hide. Just from the thought of you,
an addiction that I really, really like and I can't control.
When I try to get you off my mind, I can't seem to fight these feelings I've been trying to hide.
I can hide just from the thought of you, an addiction that I really, really like and I can't control.
When I try to get you off my mind,
feelings I've been trying to hide.
I can hide just from the thought of you.
An addiction that I really, really like and I can't control.
For 6 years I've been every night I dream I see. They say home is where you find it. Will this place ever satisfy me? For I come from the shore of the people. We always live by the sea. Now I'm down here living in the city with my girl and my family. I went home. I'm doing it.
my skin, take me away. This they call ain't really fit for a king. Cause what I say, I ain't really feel what they done with the place. Y'all can take it all back in exchange for them old ways. I got freedom on my mind. This ain't freedom, fam, they lie. I build castles up in the sky to remind me of how we fly to the coast. Raise a toast for my beautiful Isle of Horn. For not where we came from, but where it is that we gone.
I tell her. Evening, dark wind blows from the hills all across the plain. I close my eyes, I'm standing, I put on the sea again. I'm holding on to the spiel, feel I'm close to where it must be. My island, waits for me. My island. My island home. Awaits for me, yeah.
Deadly track there, My Island Home, Jimbla, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Otherwise, text a brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Let's talk rugby league, grand final. Congratulations to the Panthers, 28 defeated Parramatta Eels, 12. Commemoration to the Parramatta Eels. Back to the drawing board, but yeah, 2 years in a row, Panthers have taken out the championship, and but it's not all over. Now we've got the World Cup about to start very soon, so take a look at what's happening with the deadly teams that are playing in that competition. And like I said, it's end of the football season, AFL, NRL. Cricket's on now, you mob. And, of course, the NBL, basketball's on. So a lot of entertainment out there regarding the sports and different codes. But all is here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Give the Murray a call, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Two Delhi original Aboriginal, Buddy Knox here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black, voice for our people. Do utilise it, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up with Yarn. We've got someone online. Good morning, brother. How are you, someone?
Yeah, good morning, brother. I got a little bit of a giggle here. You know, we were inside and one auntie was on the other side. She waving. I thought she was waving. She asked me for $5, brother, to go card game.
There you go, talking about gambling.
Yeah. But you know, like, it's a social thing on our Aboriginal communities, but
yeah.
Even in the, like, the city, but it wasn't a criminal offence. But on my community, on Palm Island, brother, the dead giveaway when there was a card game with the old Queensland government blanket on the window for curtain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And brother, it wasn't enough. You could lock up for that.
Sure, yeah, exactly, yeah.
But it's not care for you. Brother, you know, like I heard you say, you can't police that. I think it's like the grog, too. You don't have to play the enabler, brother, or the codependent, like with drinking, eh, brother, you know? You don't have to prop that person up. And, you know, professional people, they intellectualize whether somebody got a problem, whether it's gambling or grog. Rather, a three-year-old can see that. I'd say, Daddy or Mummy, you drink too much. You know, we haven't got any school lunch or something like that, you know, brother. When I worked in rehab, in the '88 up in Darwin, my brother, he come down to the rehab and he said to me, he said, you know, brother, when we go work, we come home, the missus there all day gambling, brother. There's nothing, you know? There's no tucker for us. I wrote a poem about that, brother. It's called Windbag, and it's a question mark after the word windbag. Who's the biggest windbag? I sort of recite some of it, brother. You cry about my drinking, you win your back to pay. Then you bring the kids up, you nag me every day. You look towards the nation, they blame me even more. You come home like an angel, they have added to your score. Now it's my turn to speak and not let you off the hook. You're just as bloody slimy, you're just as bloody crook. It amazes me how you do it, sitting down all day, just playing bloody coon can while time just slips away. And brother, that coon can, it could be pokey, it could be anything, it's the loss of spirit. And I've done a drawing with it, brother. I've done these women sitting around on the blanket, and I got one woman got a piece of wood up in the air, and the other one's been aging on to hit me with that stick. The person that's running away is supposed to grab me, or a black fellow, or a man. It's the big bad wolf from the comic, you know, with the bad guy. And there's a woman there's a lady there, and a kid come, and then I run a kid with a little school board on the back. And instead of she sort of taking any notice of it, of her, a little kid, showing the elderly lady, the dog can do a trick. She's pushing it, she's pushing money toward him to piss me off. While she minds on the big bad wolf, the bloke running away. So that's a bit of a shot at women. It's a laughable one. I was taking the mickey out of us as blokes. You know, like when blokes do go to work, and there's women that come up with, my brother, there's a lot of crimes involved too, with gambling, and especially employees, you know, that employees, they steal a lot of money from the business. That's the problem. I thought I'd share with your brother, but there are a lot of people that would like what, and with gambling, could go hand in hand with drinking.
Yep.
When somebody loses a big, got a drink, and once he wouldn't, got a drink. So there's a lot of people with double addiction.
Mm.
But like an enabler, but with alcohol too, what they call codependent. So you can play a part in being the enabler, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
No, thank you, my brother. Beautiful. Sharing a poem there all about gambling and the effects of gambling. So thank you very much there, Selwyn. And thank you, Thomas Jai, coming in for a Yarn Principal Consultant at Jarriga, and also Dillian there with Professor Helen Maroy, and talking about the new project aims to improve cultural safety in mental health services. It's come that time where Trinity Trev signs off for today's program. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Look